The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart on WMAL.
Pointing You Home.
Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Welcome to Pointing You Home. Are you ready to settle in to hear your number one local real estate news resource? Hey, keep the dial tuned in, because at 8:30, our Senior Solutions show will continue our new series on dementia. And we'll welcome our next expert, Anna Nelson. She's the Vice President of Programs and Services for the Alzheimer's Association. But now, let's jump right into some local news that matters to you. What is going on in Alexandria? Did you know that Alexandria is once again on the international map? Yes, archaeologists have discovered a third 18th century ship at Robinson Landing in the Old Town area of the city. They found the remains on March 29th, and it's believed to have been buried before 1798. This comes after two other 18th century ships were discovered earlier in March. These ships are believed to have been built in the 1700s. An acting city archaeologist, Eleanor Breen, says the combination of Revolutionary War era ships, early building foundations, and thousands of other artifacts makes Robinson Landing one of the most archaeologically significant sites in Virginia. We have a quiz. We have a trivia. We have a game. I love games. I love opportunities to give you a chance to win prizes. So I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to ask for our listeners to respond with an answer over this coming week. And next week, I'll announce our winner. And our winner will win lunch at Clyde's. If you're interested, would like to win lunch at Clyde's, answer the following question. Into what category do 44% of home buying households fall? Into what category do 44% of home buying households fall? And if you give me the correct answer, we will draw a name from all of the correct answers, and they will win lunch at Clyde's restaurant. I love Clyde's. I grew up in this area. My mom and I used to go to Clyde's in Georgetown every March for my birthday. I used to get Clyde's chili at the old Britch's Great Outdoors. You remember those stores? Yeah. Good times, great chili. Clyde's. Gotta love it. You've heard me speak about several new expansions going on and the impact of the Navy Yard. I want to update you on Navy Yard's next massive expansion. This expansion will make the Yards DC's largest urban waterfront development. It's already been ranked as the fastest growing neighborhood in DC, but that growth isn't over. The second phase of the Yards has an expected groundbreaking date of 2019, with completion slated for 2030. This expansion will encompass 3 million square feet of mixed-use space building on 18 acres of undeveloped land on the western side of the Yards between First Street and New Jersey Avenue southeast. This phase will include 1,200 residential units, 1.5 million square feet of Class A space, and 150,000 square feet of retail and dining. Folks, that's a lot of places to eat. In 2020, the Yards will also open its first hotel development, Thompson Hotel at the corner of Tingey, that's T-I-N-G-E-Y, and 3rd Street Southeast, featuring 225 rooms, 38 suites, and restaurant with expansive rooftop bar. Sounds like a lot of fun. Hey, did you know that the inventory effect? There's an inventory effect in the D.C. area. That rising home prices and a lack of homes for sale seem to finally be affecting buyer demand in the region. Supply and closed sales were both down 9% in D.C. Now, I want you to understand, this does not mean that prices have dropped. It's just that the lack of inventory means that there's a lack of closures. Okay, so let me read this out to you. This is the March housing report from Bright MLS, which is what we call our MLS system here in the D.C. area. It shows that the median home price in the D.C. region last month was $435,000. again hitting a decade high for the month. This is a 3.6% increase, or $15,000, from the previous record-setting median, which was in March of 2017. And last month was also the 18th month in a row in which prices have risen year over year. In D.C. proper, home prices rose at a comparable clip, jumping 3.8% year over year from $535,000 to $555,000. However, these high prices are still coinciding with a continued pattern of there being fewer and fewer available listings for purchase. There was a 7.6% drop in new listings region-wide in March compared to the previous year, and in the district, 3.1% fewer listings were added, but total inventory fell by 9% versus the previous year. What does that mean? It means there's less homes to pick from, and the demand is there for less homes, so prices are continuing to climb. But that's pushing buyers who would have otherwise purchased in the District of Columbia to have to look elsewhere. Hence, we've seen an improvement in values in Montgomery County and in Fairfax County, Alexandria City, and Prince George's County. The demand has pushed buyers into the burbs because the prices have gotten to a point where they can buy more house with less convenience, but more house in the burbs compared to buying in the District of Columbia. Hey, perhaps you've considered making a move. Perhaps you've wondered what it would take to make a move, to buy a house, to sell a house. What's all involved, and what does it cost to do that? And how can I prepare my home to sell for top dollar? Well, you know, I'm a real estate agent. This is my 30th year in real estate. My background is in the theater, and I started doing radio about 14 years ago. I try to bring you the truth in real estate through the shows that we do here, pointing you home here from 8 to 8:30 on local real estate. And 8:30 to 9 o'clock in the morning, we cover Senior Solutions Radio. And then tonight at 9:30 p.m., we have Real Estate Now, which is sponsored by Relocation Nation. I've just been reminded of something, and excuse me for not giving you a way to give me the answer to the trivia quiz that I've given you today to win lunch at Clyde's. The question is, into what category do 44% of home buying households fall? The answer should be emailed to radio@ericstewartgroup.com. You know, my engineer just reminded me that I haven't given you the way of giving me the answer to the trivia quiz to win lunch at Clyde's. And the question, again, is into what category do 44% of home buying households fall? Just a little bit of direction on category. In other words, is this millennials? Is this double income, no kids? Is it married couples? Is it estates? Is it... you get the idea, right? So what category do 44% of home buying households fall into? Send your response to radio@pointingyouhome.com. That's radio@pointingyouhome.com. And we'll announce our winner next week. All right, good luck to you. All right. Hey, back to more of the show. Let's chat about getting your house ready to sell for top dollar in the spring of 2018. We've had a whirlwind of demand on our properties. And I mentioned a minute ago in chatting about the Navy Yards and chatting about D.C. values that prices in D.C. have gotten to the point it's pushed people to look outside of Washington, D.C. We've seen prices up in Montgomery County by about 3.5% to 4% this spring. Now, I'm not talking about $1.5 to $2 million homes so much, but I'm at last seeing some elasticity, some springing back in values that have continued to drop for the past 5 years in Potomac and in other areas that are north of $1.5 million. Good news, a little bit of elasticity, more demand, prices are firmer. We had a home that we put on the market at $1.6 million in Potomac that we were able to get an offer that was within $50,000 to $80,000 of that price versus having to take something $150,000 to $200,000 less. Now, some of you might say, my goodness, that's a soft market. But I want you to understand, Washington, D.C. has been this rock star of real estate. And so you've got row houses in Southeast D.C. now selling for $1 million, $1 million, $1 million, $200,000 that would have been just 15 years ago would have been $250,000 to $350,000. You talk about an increase over a short period of time. It's been astronomical. Outside of that area, and why? you've got all these buyers flooding into D.C. because the values overcame any concerns about location based upon crime or schools or other issues that D.C. had faced for so long. So that demand has pushed prices to the point where buyers are saying, wow, you know, I could pay $1 million for a house here, or I could pay $800,000 and get a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath colonial and get it in a great school district that's close to Metro, maybe not walking distance to the pubs and whatnot, but I've got a backyard for family and whatnot. Plus, you've got couples who bought on U Street and other parts of Washington, D.C., and they've seen their values jump so dramatically over the last 7 years to 8 years that they're now flipping out of those and buying properties in the burbs because maybe they've got a family. They're trying to grow a family, and you can't, you know, it's hard to live in an apartment with a family. It's just a difficult thing to do. Not that everybody can't do it, but it's harder. So there's been demand. How can you get highest value? Contact the Eric Stewart Group at Long & Foster. Let us give you a market evaluation of your property. Whether you're in Washington, D.C., Maryland, or Virginia, we have offices in all three jurisdictions. We sell homes consistently. We sell them for top dollar. 55% of our homes last year sold in less than 10 days. And we sell our homes on average for 108% of the list price. 108%. Look, folks, you want all the buyers, right? You don't want just some of them. We've got all the buyers because we disseminate information about your property across over 350 different websites. When it comes time to sell, you want somebody who knows how to sell and can sell for top dollar and negotiate to protect your interest. You can go to ericstewartgroup.com for more information. That's ericstewartgroup.com or call us toll-free right now at 1-800-900-9104, 800-900-9104. Kitchen appliances, which last the longest? I'm sure you'll want to know. Don't go away.
This is Pointing You Home on WMAL.
Sometimes I walk into real estate houses, condominiums, townhouses, and I see appliances from the 1980s. You know, they don't even have digital clocks on them. There was a period of time where things transitioned over. Some of these appliances, microwaves, 35-year-old microwaves. Sometimes I walk into homes and I find those refrigerators still, like my grandma used to have, where the refrigerant is on the top of the refrigerator. They were made to last. On average, how long do refrigerators last? And really, how long should they probably last? And really, as a result of that question, how long should you keep fixing appliances before you replace them? You know, is it really cost effective to keep your appliances until they break down? Well, there's a variety of factors that determine how long a kitchen appliance is going to last, including how often you use it, and which brand you selected, and really how well you maintain them. What do you mean, clean them? No, maintain them. For instance, I've got a refrigerator that has a filtering system on the top of it that I didn't know existed until 10 years into the use of it. My gasket was failing, and cold air was coming out, and the refrigerator was not keeping things cold. And so in just kind of digging around, I found this filter that looked like, you know, it came out of the Munster's house. It was so gnarly. Clean that off. Plus, with refrigerators, you oftentimes will have the fins like you might find on an air conditioner because that's how it keeps things cool inside your refrigerator. That was also gnarly. So I got a vacuum up there. Be very careful not to touch the blades because they're sharp and you can bend them easily. But I was able to vacuum, clean the filter, and I should get a lot more life out of it. So there's maintenance involved with your appliances. Like your coffee makers, you can clean, descale your coffee makers. You might get upset with your coffee maker because it doesn't make coffee the same way. It's probably because you have not reread your manual that you got. Just Google the appliance, Google the appliance name, Google maintenance, and you'll probably find some free information that'll help you figure out how to maintain your dishwasher. Also, okay. So the estimate of the life cycle of kitchen appliances will vary. For an example, refrigerators can last anywhere from 14 to about 27 years, according to Phoebe Knight. and she is with It Is Fixed Appliance Repair out in Sandy Springs, Georgia. Freezers tend to last a little bit less long, from 12 to 20 years. Oven and range will likely go out on a similar time frame, with an oven lasting 12 to 15 years and a range from 15 to 17 years. And microwaves clock in the least amount of time, averaging just 7 to 9 years on a microwave. Dishwasher, about 9 to 11 years. So those are the averages. How many of you all have set up a savings account for your appliances? You remember that when you bought your house and the home inspector said, you should budget for the future, right? So it's good for us to have savings in case these things break down. Or we can rent future wealth by buying a warranty policy to cover the appliances. There are two ways: save your money or buy an insurance policy, which will provide the money when you need it. But either way, it costs you something. Should you keep those older appliances? Okay, we've established how long a kitchen appliance is going to work. Older fridges, they use a little bit more money, but the same does not apply for dishwashers, ovens, ranges. The older ones, you know, they pretty much use the same as the newer ones. Just newer refrigerators are much more energy efficient, according to Scott McConnell. He owns Lake Appliance Repair in Fair Oaks, California. You know, with other kitchen appliances, you still have to use a heating element, so energy consumption is pretty much the same. And Knight agrees that newer fridges are much more energy efficient. An older fridge that uses Freon can use up to 75% more energy than a modern energy efficient model. Plus, if there's a sealed system leak, the fridge may need to have its Freon periodically recharged. And since that's a substance that's hazardous to humans, it should only be handled by a licensed professional. However, if you upgrade your kitchen appliances, you may find at the end of the day it's not really worth it. I'm a firm believer in not replacing what isn't broken, unless everything else in the kitchen has been upgraded. If you've got a dishwasher that looks like, you know, came out of the 1980s, it's got an almond face to it, but everything else is stainless steel, when it comes time to sell, you want to replace it. If you're just living there, use the thing until it's finished its natural life and then replace it to match the other appliances. You always want to check your door gasket, ensuring that the cold air is not escaping. I just told you my story. Knight recommended that you keep your fridge and your freezer full, and the reason is a full freezer is easier to keep cool than an empty one. So putting frozen items in, go ahead, just pack them in there, allow the freezer to be full. There's less air displacement when you have it empty, meaning when you put things into the refrigerator or the freezer, you're displacing air that would have been in there that would require to be cooled. This way you cool an item, it gets cold, and it helps actually to insulate the inside of your freezer and your refrigerator. Plus, when you need a frozen pizza, you got one. Knight was warning against using the self-cleaning feature on the oven. I don't know that I agree with this, but manufacturers have added that feature because it's hard to sell an oven that doesn't have it, but the feature is responsible for generating a lot of service calls. Did you know that most ovens are not able to withstand the sustained high heat of a self-cleaning cycle? I mean, that seems so counterintuitive because they get so hot to burn everything off on the inside. Your quality oven manufacturers probably don't have that issue. If you have a question, go ahead and Google your oven. There's probably a toll-free number you can call, or even just type in, can I self-clean this oven or will it kill me? Okay? All right. The most important part of stove maintenance is just keeping it clean, folks. Just regularly keep it clean. On dishwashers, use your dishwasher on a daily basis or at least once every other day, says McConnell. Components start to fail from a lack of use, and the motor assembly that builds up water pressure is going to seize up. So not running your washer often, you know, I joke with some of my sellers, oh yeah, I've got a dishwasher, they say to me, but I'm really the dishwasher, and they snicker, right? What McConnell is saying is, that's okay, but why don't you just stick your dishes in on a daily basis, wash them, no big deal. And if you have a water softener, let me remind you, any kind of water softener in the house that adds a little bit of salt to the water will actually allow you to use less detergent, whether you're bathing, cleaning your dishes, or using water for anything else. The detergent will go much longer. I'll use a third of the laundry detergent with my water in my house because of my water softener. I do the same in showers. Just a little dab will do you. Hey, lastly, microwaves. Microwaves, really convenient. But McConnell warns against relying them too much. They're not designed for long-term cooking. He also advises consumers to make sure that you only use microwave-safe dishes. Don't put metal in the microwave. You know what happens. It's like a fireworks show. Plus, certain types of plastics melt, and untempered glass may shatter at high heats. One final tip. According to the Consumer Product Safety Commission, more than 150,000 residential fires are caused by appliances. So always make sure you're following the manufacturer's guidelines for safety operating appliances.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Two properties I want to feature. One is in Burke, Virginia on Burnside Landing Court. It's a 5-bedroom, 3.5-bath brick and siding colonial with a 2-car garage, beautifully nestled, lovely lot, backing a parkland over 4,700 square feet at $725,000 won't last. And also in Potomac, Maryland on Hunt Club in the Fox Hills neighborhood built by Pulte for $900,000. It's an expanded colonial with the most beautiful first floor family room that I've seen in a long time. Cathedral ceiling, big master bedroom with 5 bedrooms and 3 baths upstairs, $900,000. That will actually be open today. You can get information at ericstewartgroup.com on both of those properties. If you're around tonight, I want to remind you that this WMAL neighborhood has a variety of shows, including Real Estate Now. If you find yourself busy tonight, you can actually listen while you're biking or doing whatever, my national real estate show, streaming on your favorite podcast platform as well. Find us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Google Play, Radio Public, and TuneIn. That'll wrap it up for Pointing You Home. Senior Solutions, coming up next.
The Eric Stewart Show, Pointing You Home, on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.